This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFK.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show. The Wyoming Cowboys return to action this weekend on the football side of things. They're at Fresno State. Three games remaining for them, and still a realistic shot that the Cowboys could become bowl eligible. Just got to win two out of the next three games. Cody Tucker joining us now from 7220sports.com. Well, Cody, how are we feeling about Wyoming? We didn't get to talk to you last week. Of course, we had the bye week. How are we feeling about this Cowboys team? It's kind of been an interesting season for the most part. An improved season, but interesting.
Yeah, you know, Brady, you're feeling really good about Wyoming's defense, per usual. That new-look group that has, 10 new starters, basically, on that side of the ball, they've been incredible. And they were incredible again. Once again in San Diego, they did plenty to lead the Cowboys to a win in that one. And San Diego State did plenty to keep the Cowboys in that game. They wouldn't take the opportunities. And, the Cowboys, especially at the quarterback spot, Caden Anderson's just been turning the ball over way too much. And that was the story in San Diego. Three first-half turnovers, three first-half interceptions, and then a fumble inside Aztecs territory there to start the fourth, and Wyoming was in it the whole time. And you always say it's easy to say, right, the bye week came at a perfect time. I think it did come at a really, really good time, because that was only Javon Bonite's second game calling plays for this team, and I think they needed a week to kind of regroup here, and they need to figure it out. I have a feeling Mr. Anderson is kind of on a choke chain here, Brady. Even a leash. 16 turnovers this year, and 14 of them belong to him. And to make matters even worse, Wyoming's defense has forced 13 turnovers, and they're a minus three on the season. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Just look, hearing you say, hey, they were in these games. It's the truth. A lot of these losses, even the Colorado game, going back to that one, the Utah game, going back to that one, there were times where it's like, man, if they can just get some production offensively, they could pull this thing out. We've said that all season about Wyoming, which I guess is better than saying that they're just blown out and they're not competitive, but they have been in every game.
To a degree, but it makes it that much more frustrating. And, you got to openly wonder, is this the year you're going to look back and go, damn it, should have won that game at Air Force? Man, if you don't give up two blocked punts for touchdowns, you beat UNLV, you do anything on offense, which, don't get me wrong here, Brady, even though San Diego State just gave up, 38 in a weird loss in Hawaii last week, that defense is filthy good. But they gave you every opportunity in that game. Wyoming, in the fourth quarter, lined up with a first down at the San Diego State 19-yard line, false start, then a hold, then a run for minus two, then a fumble. They had every opportunity to get back in that game, and they just didn't take advantage. So, if they don't get to bowl eligibility here, this is the year I'm afraid you're going to look back and go, man, the self-inflicted wounds of losing a game at Air Force that's unforgivable, losing to UNLV when you should have beat them in a hailstorm on your home field. And then, San Diego's a tough place to play, and that's a really, really good defense, like I said. But that was also a winnable game, even more so than the ones you brought up with Utah and Colorado. However, the Cowboys were in both of those. They have had no consistency at the quarterback spot mainly, and really offensively across the board, which is insane. We talked before the season. Cowboys had, I believe, the fourth most returning production of any team in the FBS when it came to the offensive side of the ball. And now you're looking at it like, maybe that's not always a good thing.
Yeah. No, it's fascinating how a season can unravel in different ways. You mentioned Javon Bonite and what he's meant so far. What do you see as the future for him, and like how, assuming he's ultimately going to to take over as the official offensive coordinator, or is that not so?
Well, you know, you would think this is kind of an audition, right? You know, these last three games down the stretch, plus the two he's already called, you know, had some good success against Colorado State, and not so much against San Diego State. So got to make some hay here, starting with Fresno, come home for a Nevada team for the home finale, and then hit the road again to the islands to close it out. So, you know, he said last week he wants to be the full-time. He wants to be the full-time OC here. And, you know, part of me wonders, like, no matter what happens down the stretch, unless it's a complete debacle offensively, Jay Sovell loves what Javon Bonai brings to the table as far as commanding respect, and the guys love him, and he's doing all the right things. Sometimes it's just not translating on the field. And, you know, so you can say it's an audition of sorts, but really he's got everybody's full confidence anyway. I think in a way you could say it's a formality, but you just don't say it yet because, I mean, if the wheels completely come off here in the last three games, especially, say, worst-case scenario, Armageddon happens and you lose at home to Nevada on Josh Allen jersey retirement day,
yeah.
You know, that might even be a doom for the head coach, let alone the offensive coordinator. So,
yeah.
You know, they got some work to do here, though. It's not going to be easy. They have not been successful on the road, and they have got to win at least, you know, you'd like their chances maybe better at Fresno than you do in Honolulu, but two really tough places that the Cowboys haven't had a lot of success.
Well, Fresno State's the most confusing, maybe the most confusing team in this conference
because
you know, they get blown out by CSU before they fire Jay Norvell. That was the game that maybe saved Jay Norvell one more week. And so they get blown out in that game. They get shut out by San Diego State, which is a good, like you said, a great defense. And then they destroy Boise State. So I have no idea what to expect from them this weekend.
I'm 100% with you. I'm writing about it as we speak. Their backup quarterback, Carson Conklin, in a 30-7 win inside Albertson Stadium, is 10 of 21 for 35 yards. Running the football wasn't a whole hell of a lot better. I mean, 47 attempts, 189 yards. Just, you know, obviously they knocked out Maddox Mattson, but man, you looking at this on its face, Brady, if you can shut down their running game and make them one dimensional and make them beat you through the air, that is more than winnable. But they are a really bizarre case. But like you said, you know, you could say that for most of the Mountain West. You can say that for what the hell is Wyoming doing losing at Air Force? You know, what is Hawaii doing losing to San Jose State? It's just, what is Colorado State doing beating Fresno State? It's been absolutely a bizarre year in the Mountain West, and I don't know what to make of it. There's no clear-cut favorite anymore, and the game between Boise and San Diego State, which is for first place this week, kind of lost some luster after both of those teams get waxed.
Yeah, no question about it. I have no idea what's going on in this conference. I really don't, but, you know, for Wyoming, they got a chance to kind of make this look like a pretty good season. I mean, they're 4-5. If they win these next three games, then you're talking about a lot of progress in Jay. Suddenly, the tune is completely changed about Jay Sovell and his leadership with the Cowboys.
Yeah, you know, I was posed a question yesterday for our podcast that we do, the Roaring Repeater, and I'm trying to look for it here, but it was really, really a good question. I thought, is, do you consider this a successful season? You know, it's obviously already one win better than it was last year, but it says here, you know, a crystal ball question: if Wyoming gets to bowl eligibility, will the season be looked at as a successful step up from last year's disappointment, or does it seem like more of a disappointment considering most of the losses this year were very winnable? You know, right now you can say, oh, they already have one more win than they did last year, so it's definitely better. But is it? I mean, to me, that Air Force loss and the UNLV loss just are glaring. And to me, that if they don't fix something here down the stretch, which theoretically they could still win eight games this year, if you don't win seven or eight games this year, you know, I don't know. I don't know if that's a success or not, or if it's more of just, you know, what's the story of the 2025 Wyoming Cowboys losing to Air Force and UNLV when they shouldn't have.
Cody, full disclosure, for the, you know, between the teams that we follow here on the show, if Wyoming can win six games, it would be a massive success compared to what the garbage we've seen between CSU and obviously now UNC's starting to falter. Air Force confused. They're fun to watch, but they're confusing. And then the debacle down in Boulder. Wyoming's got a chance to come out of this looking like, and again, it's the prettiest turd in the toilet bowl, but Wyoming could hold that honor.
Well, and unfortunately, Wyoming lost to Colorado and Air Force,
yeah.
And they had a real shot there to be Colorado State champs.
Yeah, so, no question.
Maybe I'm too close to stuff, and I'm into this too deep.
I'm just depressed, Cody. I'm depressed. I have nothing to go. Like I follow all these teams in hopes that one of them is going to be awesome, and you would think the odds would be in my favor, but that is just not the case.
Hey, you know, one of the tweets that traditionally annually pisses me off to no end is right when Wyoming punts for the first time in the season, you get the is it basketball season yet tweet.
Yeah.
And that usually really pisses me off, but hey, Wyoming Cowboys are 3-0 right now in basketball, so that's a fun team to watch, and it's been really breath of fresh air in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I really hope it works with Sundance Wicks. 3-0 to start the season. You can't ask for much better than that. What do you make of this team so far, or have you jumped full on in to the basketball side of things yet, Cody?
Definitely not full on in. I mean, this is that really hard time of the year for every sports writer who covers both. It's the overlap is incredible. You're shifting gears constantly, but I tell you what, I mean, the last couple of years haven't been enjoyable. They haven't been fun to watch. They haven't been entertaining. It's been,
yeah.
I don't mind telling you right now that living in Cheyenne, I'll be like, oh man, there's a snowflake in the forecast. I better not risk driving over to Laramie to watch them play Austin Peay.
Yeah.
And now it's like, man, I can't wait to get over there and see what this looks like.
Hey, at least your name, I mean, Austin Peay, you know, that's an interesting, obviously an interesting name. But it was, do they have a player or Our buddy Go Pokes was texting me last night, and he's like, they got a player with one arm. And I'm just like, that's freaking miraculous, though, that you could play. I don't care how good or bad the team is. That's pretty awesome.
No doubt. The kid played his ass off, too. I don't mind telling you that.
Yeah,
his name's Hansel Emmanuel. And, he doesn't have a left arm, I believe. And I kind of thought, man, my glasses are really jacked up from my seat in the press box last night. It looks like that kid doesn't have an arm. And Googled it and looked on ESPN, and yeah, tragic accident when he was like 6 or 8 years old.
Mm.
And man, what a story. What a competitor. What a kid, man. That was really cool to see.
Yeah, a great story for sure.
He played 13 minutes last night, and he blocked an alley-oop at the end. And, he blocked it right into the crowd. So, really cool to see that.
Yeah, no, that is cool. And it's cool to see, Wyoming at least getting off to a nice start here, 3-0. You never know what to make of these early games, these early season games, but you'd certainly make a lot of them if they were 0-3 right now.
Yeah.
So you got to take the good with the bad. Yeah.
That's how they'll be out there feeling today.
No question. Or Boise State losing to a team you can't even click on ESPN, right?
I mean, love to. They're selling the shirts that's calling themselves the Strip Mall Sharks. I really, really want one for when DJ Rains and Boise State come to Laramie.
Hey, be careful with Boise State. They're trainers. If you get a player that gets hurt, their trainers are going to rip them off the floor, man. They're not going. They don't care. They're dragging you all over.
That's true.
Cody, appreciate it, man. And what do you think? What do you think about Wyoming this weekend on the football side? Do they take care of business?
Well, you already answered it, man. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to just say that, but I have no idea. I think I picked them yesterday on the podcast. I can't even remember what score I thought, but it's so weird. You really, truly have no idea.
I know. I'm just thankful with my picks. I mix it in with the six here. I throw the Broncos in there. We're over 500 against the spread, Cody. So I don't know how. I don't know. I think I've closed my eyes most of the time, and I just wish, and it works. So the fact that we're sitting there is okay. I have this terrible feeling it's all going to go south pretty soon, though.
I love it. I'm not making the trip to Fresno this week. I decided, we had a family death, but anyway, I'm not making the trip, but any of your listeners out there that happen to have Avalanche Sabres tickets for tomorrow night in Denver, I'll tell you and lie to your face that I'm an Avalanche fan, and I'm very interested in your tickets.
I would have known before. We have an affiliation with the Avs and the Nuggets here, so maybe I could have, but it's too late now, Cody. It's too late now.
Well, man. You shouldn't even have freaking told me that.
Next time around. All right.
Sounds good, brother. Thanks for having me on, as always.
All right, man. Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com, man. Take care of yourself. We'll talk to you next week. Yeah, that's where we are. I'm the most intriguing game this weekend is probably what's the story? You know, is it Wyoming? Last week we said it was UNC who has the most to play for. Is it Wyoming now?
Yes.
Really? You just saying that because Cody was on?
No, I don't. UNC has two games to play for. They just have to win, I think, one of them
to get to that four
to make it a truly successful season.
Yeah.
CU, no. If anyone watches,
it's for the quarterback. You're just watching to see the growth of the quarterback.
Yeah, CSU, they're going to tear the whole thing down.
Least interested. I'm the least interested in that, and that's one of my. I'm not a beat guy, but I definitely do more CSU stuff. Probably, yeah, that's a mix. I probably hit when it comes to basketball season. I'm probably right down the middle between UNC and CSU. But I'm telling you, the interest level is. 12:41 the time. Michael, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.